Thank you for joining the ESBC Podcast Network. And once football season starts, and really right after college basketball season, we go into and we analyze in detail political corruption, right? Local political corruption, because if you don't get involved, politics will find you and get involved with you. And we live in the greatest country in the world, and freedom is not free. So if you don't participate in democracy, in capitalism, you're not doing your job as a citizen. And with the pandemic, the recession, and social unrest, you can see how south things can go. I'm Josh Ambner, MBA, got three successful businesses. And what we do here is we give you information you do not get anywhere else. And to that end, on Thursdays, we're going to deviate from what we're doing. We'll get to George Navarro, but we have a special guest with us. California is the fifth largest economy in the world. And one of the larger counties in California, San Diego County and San Diego, which is nearby, is, you know, top 10, 15th city in the country. So we have a gentleman who's I hate using the word politician because he's kind of outside that kind of stereotype, but we have a very accomplished gentleman with us today that Mike Christensen, that's on with us every Thursday, is going to introduce. Thank you, Mike Christensen.
Thank you, Josh. Ladies and gentlemen who are watching and listening, I'd like to introduce a very special friend and a good man for years I've known, County Supervisor in San Diego, Mr. Jim Desmond. And Jim, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but you've accomplished a lot of careers in your young life. And maybe you can take just a minute and talk about, from airline pilot to entrepreneur to mayor of San Marcos to now County Supervisor, kind of catch us up on what's going on with Jim Desmond these last few years.
Well, it's been a roller coaster ride here for the last year, that's for sure. Thanks, Mike. Happy to be here. You're right. The Navy brought me here to the San Diego region many, many years ago. And I met my beautiful wife here, and we raised our family in San Marcos. And I was, as you mentioned, as an airline pilot for 33 years for a major carrier. And I got to fly all over the world, and it was a great, beautiful career. I started a tech company in the 90s. And from that, I got involved in the local economic development, the Chamber of Commerce, kind of went up the ranks, ran for city council, ran for mayor for 12 years in the city of San Marcos, and then decided to take what I learned in San Marcos and take it to the county, and hopefully try to make the county a better place like we did in San Marcos. And I just recently retired though from the airlines. I got a COVID exit. I retired a little bit early because of just a reduction in the amount of flying and things like that going on there. So I actually went right before I started for the airlines. I actually went to San Diego State, got a degree in electrical engineering. I like to keep busy. And this new job has definitely kept me busy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Three bags full. So I want to piggyback on one thing you said. You talked about this COVID-19 and you had to take an early retirement. And you were still very active as a pilot. You were still fully you can do all the pilot duties. They just said, hey, Jim, we're going to cut back and blah, blah, blah. And here's an opening. You want to call it quits? And you said, yes. And that was after what, 34, 35 years of pilot?
3 years with the airline. Even when I was mayor is not really a full-time job. Most people don't realize that, but the city manager actually runs the day-to-day activities of a town, yeah. You, except for the larger cities. So it's more of a part-time. So I was still flying while I was had that mayor job. And then when I came over here to the county, I reduced the amount of flying I would do only to like 2 weekends a month. I had it really bad. I had to go to Maui on Saturday, come back.
Somebody's got to do it.
Somebody has to do that. But yeah, with COVID, it was actually, it's kind of bittersweet leaving early, but Well, they were going to have to lay off a lot of pilots. And so there was about 2,000 of us that worked for Delta Airlines, 2,000 of us that took that kind of an early out and handshake out the door, so that potentially they didn't have to lay off as many pilots. And so there was like 15,000 of us at Delta. And so 2,000 wasn't a huge number, but it helped help them get, you know, it helped them. I got out early and other people got to keep their jobs. So it worked out well.
So as far as COVID-19, right? You're an entrepreneur. You've been in the private sector. So I know that there's always a little bit of a clash between you just had that business experience versus people who are lifers in government. How has that been now mitigating? Now that we're in a panic situation. Now, I've been an entrepreneur, for 20 years. I had a restaurant for $6,000 in rural Florida. And they said everybody was racist. Me as a dark Cuban, I sold it for $800,000 6 years later. And I say that because being an entrepreneur equals anxiety. So you've had experience as a pilot. Not every flight was perfect. So now you're in a panic situation. You have all this experience, right? As an entrepreneur, and now you're dealing with career politicians in government. How has that been? How have you mitigated the situation? And give us an overview of businesses opening up back in San Diego.
Well, you know, one of the things in my business that I learned, you know, when I signed the front of the check, not always the back of the check. And right. You know, there's a lot of anxiety in businesses, you know, is this client going to pay me because I got to make payroll or, you know, this money isn't coming in as best, you know, things don't always work out as well. Even in the airline business, what we did is, as a pilot, as a captain of a flight, I managed risk. And that's the same thing entrepreneurs do, is you manage risk. You take risk. I mean, just getting on an airplane is taking a risk. But you have to manage that risk. And I came from the private sector. I'm not a career politician. I didn't do it that way. I just try to, you know, common sense, do what's right, get the heck out of the way, is kind of my philosophy with politics. But you know, it's all about managing risks. And when I do see some of my colleagues that they've never really had a job in the private sector. And a lot of people have just, you know, worked for politicians and then they became one themselves. They're good people. And they've got a different perspective on things. Yeah. You know, nothing bad about them, but it is a different perspective. And I try to bring that. I try to speak for the common man. I try to be, okay, how can we make this work? Here's what we've been, you know, here's the cards we've been dealt. How do we make the best of it? I tried with common sense, especially with COVID here, to make a balance between, okay, we got all the health information. We know who's most vulnerable. We know what the precautions are, what we have to do to take them. But there's also an economic side. So it's not just the health side. It's also, we got to keep the economy going so we can have the money to provide to individuals who have need or have new needs now because of the virus. So we have to balance that out. And I took more of a, you know, practical approach, I think, to businesses and the closures, to saying, you know, we cannot, a lot of these businesses should be allowed to operate safely and have that opportunity. It wasn't fair. Businesses were being discriminated against because of their sectors, and they should have had the same opportunities as other businesses to operate safely. And many of them, 99.9% of them, were willing to do that, but they just weren't given the opportunity, and they were penalized without data or facts.
You know,
what the governor had set up with his color-coded tier system. And it was really, I think, detrimental. And our numbers now here, you know, where we're sitting in mid-February, our numbers overall, our state, even though we were one of the tightest ones locked down, our numbers are just as bad, if not worse, than some other states that did allow their businesses and their economies to at least stay alive. So to me, you know, these lockdowns didn't work. We should have taken a more, you know, a common sense approach of allowing businesses to open up and be safe, rather than, you know, you got to stay locked down. And now we've got all these people relying on government instead of being able to use any entrepreneurial skills that they had and that they're, and the investments that they made, you know, a lot of times their family fortunes down the drain.
Right. You mentioned common sense, right? And Mike Tristanese and I always refer to that, but common sense isn't so common. And a good definition of common sense I've heard recently is information that you don't have to have a college degree, right? And you mentioned the common sense, but we can all agree on. How's that approach are you going to take now on the commission where you're outnumbered, where for the first time in a long time, it's a more liberal commission, and you're the perfect guy for it from what I'm hearing, being able to sneak in a vote or two for the people?
Well, I'm still going to keep working on things. I'm still, you know, there's still other issues that, you know, need to be dealt with. You know, I'm glad the vaccination's here and the vaccine's there. And I know some people don't want the vaccine. That's fine. We're not going to force people to take it. But, you know, I'm pushing for the vaccines and making sure we do that. But, you know, there's still other issues. There's homeless issues. There's behavioral health issues. We've got issues with our jails and our courts. And there's still a lot of work that can be done. I'm gonna focus on that. You know, my district, I represent North County, which is Oceanside, Carlsbad, Rancho Santa Fe, Vista San Marcos, all the way out to Borrego. Our ag business. We've got a huge ag business in North County, about $2 billion a year. You know, nurseries and plant growers and things like that. So we want to make sure they can thrive. We still have over 2,000 roads to take care of in the unincorporated area. We still have other issues and other things I'm gonna work on. It's just I have to take a different perspective, a little different angle, and try to get some of those things done. So, you know, all is not lost, but there's a whole new lens or perspective that we're looking through at the county now with the new board, more of a social justice, social equity lens on just about every decision we make, you know, which in some cases is good, but you still got to do the practical things. You still got to, you know, keep people safe. You still got to keep your roads and infrastructure. You still got to do other things to keep government running.
Yeah. You know, Jim, Josh talked about owning a restaurant, and I know the restaurant business in San Diego County, I mean, it was flourishing, and that's what people come here from all over the world, not just for the beaches, but the restaurants, the tourism. What are we doing? What are you doing to try to get the restaurants back open?
Well, I've been still advocating, you know, that we should allow these businesses to open up. It's just, unfortunately, the governors won't allow that to happen. And the governor, you know, the state rules over the county. We've been pushing on. We've got a lot of people, that are willing to do the job and do it right. And in the next phase, you know, right now we're in purple. Okay, so purple
tier
is this color tier, and quite frankly, there is no green color. The best we can get is to yellow, and that's only at 50% capacity at some of these indoor venues like restaurants and museums and things like that. You know, I'd love to see us go to 25% indoor capacity in restaurants, museums. I think that's a reasonable first step, first approach. Go to 25% and then move in. And then if in 3 weeks, things don't seem to get any worse, then we go to the 50%, 75%, and then on up. But unfortunately, we just haven't been given that opportunity. And there's been sectors that have just been devastated since day one here. I mean, the wedding industry still hasn't had a chance to open. You know, Legoland up here in North County hasn't even opened its door once. At least, you know, SeaWorld and the zoos and Safari Park were able to open. So I'm going to keep pushing that we try to get to at least 25% indoors. And I went to Arizona a couple times in November and December, and I saw how they had operated. They had allowed their restaurants to be open, and they were safe. Actually, more people there I saw were taking safety precautions than in California. Arizona treated their people like adults. California treated us like children, and therefore we acted like children. And in some cases, we weren't as respective, you know, with the masks or things like that. Mm-hmm. And so they took it to a little further extreme as far as the safety precautions in Arizona and allowed their businesses to be open. So I'm going to continue to push to make sure we get to that next 25%. What's ridiculous, you know, the next tier is red from purple. So if we get to red, so to get there, we have to have less than 7 people out of every 100,000 testing positive in San Diego County. Right now we're at about 30 to 40 people testing positive out of 100,000. And when you think of that, it's actually a fairly small number. The Rose Bowl, the Rose Bowl where they have the football, the games.
Pasadena, yeah.
Its capacity is about 90,000, just over 90,000 people. So if you fill that with people. You could have only six people out of that stadium, full stadium, testing positive. That's what we have to get to 25% indoor capacity. It's just, and then to get to the next tier, which is orange, I think you have less than four. And then the yellow is, I don't know, whatever, less than one or something like that.
No.
Just as ridiculous what's the way we're set up here. We're set up for failure for our economy, the way this color tier system is.
Yes. Yeah. Are you getting allies to help you? I can hear your passion. I can hear your compassion. Are you getting people to jump on board and say, Jim, you know, that makes perfect sense. That is common sense. Is that happening?
I'm on the board of supervisors. You know, there's one other, you know, I have another colleague that on board, but three of my colleagues right now, they're pretty much in lockstep with the governor, and they don't want to do anything against the governor. I've even made motions that we should only enforce the health and safety precautions.
Right.
Enforce that, not the closures. If the state wants them closed, let the state come in and close them. But we should not be doing that enforcement. And unfortunately, I didn't get a second on that one, but I just couldn't get the rest of the board to get on to be a part of that action. So unfortunately, even after this last election, we still have people that just want to follow the governor's orders to the letter. And quite frankly, I think it's devastating our economy. And it's particularly, you know, you mentioned the tourism sector and the restaurant. And most of the people that this is hurting are the poor people that everybody else that are supporting the shutdown say they are trying to protect. It's the service industry. It's the hotel workers. It's the people that would worked in the restaurants. You know, they weren't always the highest paid. So unfortunately, this sector of our economy has just been devastated. Mm. And we've had people crying, calling into the meetings, crying.
Yeah.
Because they want to be responsible. They want to pay their rent. They want to pay their bills. They just want the opportunity to go out and make money to do it. They don't want to be freeloaders on the system. They don't have the opportunity. So and unfortunately, that's where we are today. We still are. And this governor's just dragging us. You know, we're just leaving a trail of broken businesses and entrepreneurs who can't fulfill their dreams.
Right.
Now, here's a dangerous question from a citizen to a politician. Okay, listen carefully. Right. So what can we do? Is there something we can do as citizens? I know I'm making phone calls. I'm dropping emails. I'm trying to meet with people. What can we do to say, hey, people, you know, we're dying here. We need to get back into just what you said, Jim. The American people are workers. They want to work. They want to be productive. How can we support you in that?
Well, you got to keep making noise. We got to keep knocking on that door. You know, there's people, you know, attending some of these rallies and building up the pressure. And the governor has moved to pressure. You know, remember at the very beginning, he was going to close down all the beaches everywhere. Backed off on that. And then there was another instance. He was going to close all the gun stores. Well, backed off on that. And then he did move a couple of businesses sectors into the purple tier that used to be in red. And that was the barbershops and nail salons and hair salons and things like that. He moved those into the purple. So, and now there's been a lot of noise. I don't want to call it noise because I want to be more respectful of that.
Activity.
Activity towards getting kids back out to play.
Yeah.
To compete right. on the and get out in a lot of these high school coaches.
Schools. Yes.
Somebody sent me a list. It was like 25 teams that were from San Diego County were competing in Yuma over the weekend. Yeah. So you got all these people driving now to Yuma and paying $600 a night at the Motel 6 in Yuma or whatever. There it was very they were getting lots of money for their hotel rooms in Yuma, Arizona. So we got people driving
right
to compete out of state instead of being able to do it here in state safely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I have a comment. I hit you with two questions that's always bothered me for over a decade. But you're going to love this study, and I'll send it to you, of high school football in the South. through 10 states in the South, and they had a lower transmission rate than the kids that stayed at home. So it's actually beneficial for you to go out and play high school football than having the kids stay home.
Yes, yes.
The two things that have bothered me actually for decades, right? Because I was in San Diego when Gary Templeton was the Ozzie Newsome, and then Gary Templeton was a shortstop for the Padres. And out of the last 10 mayors of the city of San Diego, five of them are convicted felons, right? And poor Miss O'Donnell ended up homeless in Vegas, walking in the street with severe mental health. So those are the two questions I have. And I love people that get into public service like you that has their own money. You give me the impression that nobody can buy Jim Desmond, but those guys do come up to you. And I have, you know, friends who are public elected officials high up there, and they tell me the stories of the guys that come up to you. How do you handle those guys? And how do you see the people around you handling those guys? It's almost like a quid pro quo for all kinds of different things that come at you. And second, something that I think you can find consensus on the board is ideas to deal with the homeless issue. And really, not with the pandemic. My wife's a psychotherapist, and she worked for the Community Services Foundation in San Diego for many, many years. So she's very familiar with the mental health problem in San Diego. She's like, you know what? You have PTSD, right? You have PTSD of a home invasion. And I was able to take care of a home invasion in the South of Florida. In a way, people are telling me I could not take care of it now here in California. But that's a different issue. And she's like, the pandemic has given you trauma. It's not normal. So there's a lot of, and I had a very good conversation with a guy who works really good in San Diego as well, rehabilitating inmates and getting them back into society. And he's saying that 80% of inmates are in there because of unresolved trauma. So what are your thoughts on both those things? Handling those guys, the quid pro quo, local political corruption guys, you know, the Economist did a study, 115 countries, which ones were corrupt, which ones were not. They found that all 115 countries were corrupt. So how do you handle that from your standpoint? What's your philosophy on that? And the homeless issue and mental health in San Diego County.
Well, that's a lot, Josh, I'll tell you.
Good answer. Good answer.
Compartmentalize things. Okay, on the quid pro quo stuff, you know, I have people that donate to my campaign. And I, you know, sometimes they get upset with me because if I don't always vote, you know.
Right.
But, you know, I tell anybody who donates to my campaign, I tell them you have my ear, but so does everybody else.
Right.
I don't take bribes. I don't do any of that kind of stuff. And you're right. I'm fine with who I am. I don't have to have this job. I don't need it, quite frankly. Right. I volunteered for this, and I have to remind you that some days.
I volunteered.
So I come from the position of I do the right thing, and then I go home and I sleep well. So I'm going to do what's right, even if it doesn't make everybody happy. I've already learned I can't make everybody happy, and so politics isn't my life. It's just something I kind of happened into. Primarily, people ask me how I got to where I am. I say, I started volunteering. You know, I started volunteering at my kids' school. I started volunteering at my kids' Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. What I learned is the more you volunteer, the more responsibility people will give you. And so that's kind of how I got here. So I don't need this job. I don't need other people's money. I'm self and happy with where I am.
Very refreshing to hear.
Absolutely. Yes, it is.
On the mental health issue, you know, that is it's a huge issue here in San Diego County. It's in the whole state. We've got this mental health issue. And I was on a phone actually with, you know, some people today that were very upset about the number of deaths we have in our San Diego County jails. And we do have more than I would like to see. We have a lot of it. But what's happened is our jails have become the provider of mental health treatment, and the de facto, you know, space where most of our people that have mental health issues end up, and that's where they're getting their treatment. we don't have, you know, when I grew up many moons ago, there used to be mental hospitals or places where, right. you know, they could, where that care and right. treatment, and they unfortunately became sort of a dumping ground for issues and mm-hmm. were not well maintained and people weren't treated properly. But we now, the state of California is letting out more and more inmates and more people that, you know, that didn't have violent crimes, you know, a lot of them drug related and things like that. Well, they're letting them out of jails, but they're letting them out onto our streets, and they without any resources, without any housing, without you know, any ways, you know, to cope and deal with life. So they end up being homeless on our streets, and then if a lot of them have mental illness, and they deal with that with drugs and alcohol. And right. so it's kind of a vicious cycle that we're in here. And then we don't have the housing to put them, and we have shelters, but we don't have, and we have affordable housing, but most of them couldn't even afford affordable housing. So we have shelters, right. but we don't have that intermediate step or phase of housing to put them in right. to get them the help that they need. And so, and also what we have in place here in the state is that there's no real incentive for, unfortunately, these people that have mental health issues that are out in our streets. They don't have to. If they don't want help, they can refuse it, and there's nothing we can do about it. I think there needs to be some sort of a threshold of mental incapacity that we should be able to take people and say, you know, either you go to jail or you go to, you know, go to get help here or start getting some programs. At the county, we got lots of money for programs, but we don't have money for housing or to place some of these people in housing. And like I said, if they don't want to be there, they can just walk.
Right.
So we, yeah. and nobody wants a facility that helps or deals with these people next to them. Even if
100%.
Yeah. So nobody wants that. And so we're kind of right now, you know, there's an effort to maybe buy older motels or hotels that, you know, kind of gone defunct. But nobody wants those in, you know, that type of atmosphere, you know, in their neighborhoods. We're seeing a lot more drug overdose here due to COVID, a lot more people dealing with the stress and anxiety. We've got about four times the rate of drug overdose that we had pre-COVID, post-COVID.
Wow.
So we, in North County, I've been able to do quite a bit with mental health issues. When I was first elected, Tri-City Hospital up here had to close down their the psychiatric beds and their crisis stabilization unit, which is only a 24-hour operating, or it's only, it's a different form of help, but as opposed to people going to an operator or an emergency room, they go to a crisis stabilization unit where they can get their meds, you know, stabilized and things like that, get a shower, you know, maybe get housing, things like that. They had closed theirs down primarily because they had to suspend them primarily because of building and permitting type issues. So they closed that down. I got the county to give them, we got $17 million for them to build new psychiatric facility. We also got a crisis stabilization units opened up in Vista and in Oceanside and also in Escondido.
They're crisis houses.
Well, they're crisis stabilization units. Okay, what it means is,
yeah, because my wife worked at one of those, so thank you. Wife was employed based on your work, so I appreciate you very much. She called it a crisis house, especially the one in Oceanside. Yeah,
families can take their. I've gotten many calls from families as, look, yeah. I got a son, I got a daughter, I got somebody, they're strung out on drugs, or they're you know, place apart, they're having an episode, where can we take them? In the ER, the emergency rooms, they're more for if you're bleeding really bad,
right,
or you're shot, or you got, you know, that's what emergency rooms, that they don't have the mental health capabilities on hand all the time. So these crisis stabilization units are community places where families can take somebody and try to get them back on a healthy path. And if they need to go to a psychiatric hospital, fine, they do that. But it's even for family members that, you know, like I said, I had gotten calls and families I knew that had somebody that they just couldn't handle anymore.
Right.
And what would it do? And so these are places that where that can, as opposed to them being homeless, you know, going out in the streets,
So we've done some good work here in North County. Yep. Matter of fact, we've done more in North County than other sectors or parts of the county here, and in getting some of these mental health issues. But it's a cycle that we're stuck in right now because of housing and the state providing the resources or the programs for these people. Once they let them out of jail and then they're in our streets and then they can just refuse help is not
not healthy.
Not healthy. And we'll put in the episodes notes, and we'll Mike Christianese and I will do a write up giving a lot of background and context to a lot of what board member Mr. Desmond has talked about. We've gained a lot of insight. We have a lot of politicians up to a congressman who listens to the podcast. So this is educational for everybody around the country, and especially here in Southern California and our huge audience in San Diego. And we appreciate your time. This has been great. Learned a lot. And we appreciate your time because you know you're busy. I'll close with this. What's the next thing you're going to put on the agenda for the board of supervisors?
Well, we have several. this isn't as sexy as all the other ones. Is for clearing along evacuation routes in the unincorporated area for the fires. The fires are still a huge threat in San Diego County. So. Yeah. I'm a streets, roads, infrastructure kind of guy. And so we're going to be putting forward that effort for the, to make sure we have the clearing along either side. It's not as sexy as when we just, the prioritization unit, we just push for that. Those things are on board. One of the other things that's coming up forward is that I partnered with Summer Steffen. Well, it's mostly her, but I helped her with it a little bit in San Marcos. Family justice center, where basically this is a place where battered women or women have been abused, kids, they've been thrown out of the house. So this is going to be a kind of a one-stop shop for them to get restraint, for them to get housing, for them to get clothing, for them to get, healthcare and things like that in San Marcos. And so that's forward here, but I guess the clearing along the evacuation routes isn't as sexy as some of the other things, but that's one of the next things that
we're doing. Let me jump in on that, Jim, because Zell from California Tree Service, we talked about that just recently, about the whole clearing thing. And I said to him, have you talked to Jim Desmond? No, Mike, I haven't told you. So I said, well, it's funny you mentioned that because we're going to be talking to him and you brought it up. And I know that you had talked with him and the boys about that kind of thing. What could private businesses do to help facilitate that?
Hopefully, if we mandate this clearing on certain types of roads that we know that are the evacuation routes, because we kind of the fire department fires knows if the winds are blowing Santa Ana's what canyons are there going to be affected areas and things like that, and then we're going to make sure we have the enough clearing on either side of the roads. So that for evacuations, people are, the evacuations can be handled safer and there's a threat. So hopefully, those contracts, some of those the Cal Fire will do themselves, but some of them also will be contracts that hopefully going out to residents and businesses that, that do those, that type of work hopefully Zell and other people that are in those business areas that put, go forward with that. Thank you very much. I invite people to, if you have questions on anything with COVID or even things that aren't in my district, we can get you to the right person to hopefully either help you resolve your issue, or if we can't, help you understand why we can't. But one of the things I pride myself in is people call our office, we get back to them. And there's 18,000 that work at the county, 18,000 employees. One of them should be able to solve your problem.
We'll get to that. We got to go into the middle of the streets in San Diego and everywhere. What an asset they have in Jim Desmond. Two things right there. He gets ahead of the problem instead of reacting to the problem after it happens, right? And you know what? He follows up with you. Oh, my God. And you need that in government where you have people reacting. And what we'll do is we'll make sure that in the episode notes and on the website and everywhere, we'll make sure you have the contact information for Jim Desmond.
Put my email, my county email up there and phone number. And I got a great staff of people, that nine people that were very reactive to calls and emails. And we'll help you. Sometimes we can't help always help you, but we'll let, at least you'll understand why, hopefully.
All right. Yeah.
That is so awesome. That is so awesome. So, Mike, Kristen, you got something before we close? Before we get into Winston Churchill.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Jim, first of all, thank you for what I call speaking the King's English. I mean, you're a blue-collar guy. I'm a blue-collar guy from Flint, Michigan. Talk to politicians a lot of times, it's like, what did he just say? Did he say yes or no? I'm not, and I don't ever, every time I've talked to you, I've always gotten yes, no, up, down, left, right. So thank you for being straight up. And number two, thanks for taking this time to share with us and with the listeners and viewers, because a lot of people need to know that you are a resource. You are an asset. You are the kind of guy that says, hey, here's a parade. Let's jump in front of it. Okay. Let's not get behind the horses. That's not a place to be. So I'll say thank you. And we're going to do this again. We're going to do some follow-up and I'll be talking to Miles and others. So thank you, Jim, for coming on board.
All right, John. Yeah,
how refreshing. No over generalities and no cliches.
Yeah.
We always close with Winston Churchill. You make a living from your labor, right? You got us through World War II, but you make a life from what you give. Thank you for listening to the ESPC Podcast Network.
That's why this book don't cost $800, and that costs $200. And I don't know what that costs, I'm just shaking the work. That's why I wear good and shoes and roll my butt, and I get a limousine stuck out there a mile long.
If you haven't heard of Anchor, it is free. It's a podcast that I use, and they really do a good job for us here at the GFSN Betting and Team Report podcast. It helps us make 70 to 80% of your bets. Now, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started, my brothers.
I'm the best there is.